Kelly Connors, and I'm host of... Oh, boy. I always get thrown off by that beautiful British accent. Comes in at the wrong time. It's Kelly Connors here, and I'm host of Real Women on Health, and now focused on designing the second half of your life, because that's where I am in my life. And moving from health to well-being really requires more of a focus on purpose, passion, possibility in the second half of life. And that's really the crux of the program now. So I've been looking for guests to be on the show, and I found one that I think you'll really enjoy listening to and enjoying the conversation I have with her. Her name is Betsy Furler. She's CEO of Communication Circles. It's her own company, and she's also known as the App Lady. So before you think she's just all about technology and has no face, let me tell you, she is out there, putting herself out there in speaking engagements. She's networking. And the way that she does all this, the reason she does all this is because she's passionate about inclusion and creating a society where technology is not a barrier to inclusion. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Betsy. Welcome to the show, Betsy.
Thanks, Kelly.
Great to have you here with us. And just for the listeners, I'll back up a little bit. Can you give me a brief synopsis of why you love what you do, and why you love why you do it?
Yeah, so after 25 years as a speech pathologist, which I am still active in that field as well, but I now own a therapy company and I supervise other therapists, so I am now able to pursue my second passion, which is using technology in a way that helps people. I love technology, and I discovered this about 6 years ago. I was asked to be on a panel at South by Southwest about autism and apps. As a speech pathologist, I was using a lot of apps and technology, and I made a lot of connections in the tech world, starting at South by Southwest, and then over the past 6 years, and companies started asking me to help them make their apps and their websites better for the people that they were serving, and I kind of just got hooked. I love using technology to improve my life, and my mission is to make technology that is accessible and usable for people of all different abilities and for all different uses. I don't want people to be intimidated or scared by technology. I want them to be able to use it to make their lives better.
Yeah. Well, that's really apparent in kind of in the work you do and the trajectory of your career, so to speak. Now it's your own company. So you're no longer employed by school systems, but it's your own firm. And when you talked about, companies asking you to, create the digital platforms for them, was that just as a result of networking? I mean, I know that it's the result of networking, and you said South by Southwest Interactive. So just putting yourself out there and connecting with people, and then you got interest in your what your specialty was then, right?
Yeah, so through networking, people started asking me kind of for my opinion, and I've had to do a lot of mindset work over the past 5 years surrounding this, because I wanted to launch a consultancy working with technology and tech companies and other companies who have digital products to help them make their products better. But I was thinking of myself as a speech pathologist, and that makes no sense for somebody who has a digital product to hire a speech pathologist. It does make sense once you start thinking about it, but it doesn't really make sense on the surface. So I've done a lot of networking as well as a lot of working on my own mindset and kind of making that switch over and being able to understand my value within that industry, which is such a different industry. And a big part of that mindset issue at first was as a speech pathologist, that's an industry that's very licensed, and, we have certifications and we do CEUs and you have to have a master's degree. And then going into the tech world, which is totally the opposite of that, was such a big change for me and just took so much of my mindset to realize I don't have to go back to school for this. I can do some continuing ed kind of things, and it's all about experience and what you bring to the table versus what you're certified in.
Yeah, and that to me is just incredibly insightful for women who are, and many of us were in the healthcare professions, right? Because in the 70s and 80s, there were lots of opportunities for women to get into careers in physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech pathology, the dental hygiene, dental assistant field. Many of us were healthcare service providers. And that certainly is a lot different than getting into the business world and where you're not providing a service, but you're consulting and providing solutions, solving problems for people. And in your case, you've glommed onto technology. So what you said was really interesting in that making the switch didn't necessarily require certification, but it did require new skills. So can you tell me how you acquired new skills to shift from your healthcare service providing world into business?
Well, it started with just my incredible passion for technology. Once the mobile platforms came out, the iPad and the iPhone and the Android tablets, I just realized that this is just so life-changing. So it started with really just my own desire to learn everything I could about these mobile platforms. So it really was a hobby at that time. I was still working full-time as a speech pathologist. I didn't have a lot of extra time in my day. So when people would ask what my hobby was, I would say looking at apps, thinking about apps, and reading about mobile technology. That's what I love to do in my spare time. So I do also have a family. I guess I should mention that. I didn't mention that at the beginning.
Yeah.
I have a husband and I have two sons. They're 13 and 19. And my husband and my children are extremely just supportive of anything I do. And they're my biggest cheerleaders. My 19-year-old is medically fragile. And so I also have, I do a lot of balance, work-life balance, and figuring out what I can do when he's sick and kind of always taking care of, doing a lot of self-care kind of things. And so that also plays a factor. I really didn't have the luxury of being able to go back to school. I could have done it from a financial standpoint, but I could not do it from a time standpoint because I do have my kids, and especially Henry, my older one, takes a lot of my time. So I just started, like I said, kind of doing it as a hobby. I started attending tech conferences. I attend South by Southwest every year. I've spoken most years. I did not speak last year, but I will be Civility.
Oh, great.
And I just started just absorbing whatever knowledge that I could. I also started meeting a lot of people in the tech field, and because they started asking me questions, I started kind of growing my knowledge based on trying to help them out with their products. I really started trying to launch this consultancy about a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, and I realized I needed to hire a coach and get some more focused support on starting a business. So I did hire a coach and joined a mastermind group through BizChicks, Natalie Ekdahl's organization. It's BizChiz. And she has a podcast, which is how I heard about her. And I started working with her and joining this mastermind really to get the business skills. Well, I had a speech therapy company. I didn't have any marketing skills, or in my speech therapy company, patients just come to me. Doctors refer to me. I never had to market that. So I really joined for the marketing, knowledge, social media stuff, those kind of more businessy tasks. What I realized is I really needed a support system for mindset issues. It was hard for me, going into this more or less licensed, less certified type of field. But it was also a switch in my identity was as a speech pathologist for 25 years. So to make a switch over and change my identity, that was huge. So I found by kind of finding a tribe of women who are also small business owners and entrepreneurs, they would laugh at me with my mindset, which really helped me kind of get over some of those things. At one point I wasn't able to get on a mastermind call because I was at the White House talking to some high-level people at the White House about technology issues. And they were like, Betsy, you're at the White House. Hello. You're speaking at South by Southwest. But it took those other women to make me realize that, yes, I belong in that field of technology that's so different from what I have been doing, but my difference is really my strength in that situation because I bring my 25 years of clinical experience to products for people that, a product may be something like the Starbucks app. Well, on the surface, doesn't matter if you have experience with people with disabilities, but then when you look down deep, those products need to be accessible for everyone because we all have disabilities at different times in our lives and maybe even from day to day at different times of day. For instance, when you really need that cup of coffee, you may not be able to use a tech product at the same way as you do when you're at your peak time of the day.
Right.
So that group of women has helped me so much. And then my continuing building of networking in that way, as well as, they may not ever hire me to consult on a digital product, but they are able to not just cheerlead me on, but also help me refocus and reframe what my offerings are.
Right. So you kind of explained this, but just for a little bit more detail around the mindset shift, you had mentioned that because you're a healthcare professional, I mean, that's how you differentiated yourself in the tech world. You had this, 27 years of speech pathologist gives you a ton of credibility when you're in the tech field because tech is, relatively new and dynamic and so you're applying technology for healthcare or health and well-being of more diverse populations. So was the mindset shift for you? Describe, how do you make a mindset shift? How do you do that?
Well, for me, I didn't even know I had mindset issues in the first place. So I think the first step was realizing that. And while I hired a coach and joined a mastermind, like I said earlier, really for the business pieces, I then realized I really needed them for mindset. Once I started realizing that I had mindset issues and needed to make that shift, I think the next step was really trying to focus on that as much as I could as far as reminding myself of my skills, reminding myself of the differences in my skills, and then really training myself when I was verbally speaking about what I did to reframe that in a way that really highlighted my hard as women to do. We're kind of brought up to not brag about ourselves. And so, but you have to, or no one's going to know what you can do well if you don't brag about yourself. So that was another just huge piece of it is learning to talk about the great things I do. And it was funny because as I've gone along in this process, I've been telling my mom about it. And my mom's like, well, yeah, of course you're good at that. I've known that your whole life that you're good at that. And my parents, I also had very supportive parents growing up, and they literally were like, you can do anything you want to do, always through my whole life. But I was socialized not to brag just because that's how our society is. And So it's funny because I was like, well, Mom, why didn't you point this out to me? Like, you know, like I said, you know, I was even talking to her the other day and I was saying, you know, I'm really excited about bringing more of my creativity into the tech world and my real design and creativity work. I haven't done a lot of those in the last 25 years being a speech pathologist. And she said, yes, you have, because you're so creative. You were always activities that you would do with patients and things like that. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, why didn't you remind me about that, Mom? So, she's, you know, a lot of it is like, she's just like, well, I know this about you. Of course you must know this about yourself, which I do deep down, but it's that bringing it to the surface and really being able to talk about it and highlight it in yourself.
Right, right. That's exactly it. It's recognizing that just because it's easy for you and that's your gift, recognize that it's still valuable, even though it's natural to you, right?
Right. Oh, and that's another huge part. I'm so glad you just said that, because that is huge in that things that are so easy for me, I didn't want to charge for initially. So I felt like, well, I can just do this in 5 minutes. Why would I charge a company for that? And my coach was like, what you're selling. That's what people in the business world sell, is their knowledge and their skills.
Right.
It's very valuable to somebody else. And she said, and you've spent 25 years professionally building those skills. You shouldn't give it away for free. But of course I have a very helper, you know, type personality as well, which is why I became a speech pathologist in the first place. So that was a huge mindset shift also, is learning that it's okay to charge for those things and people are more than happy to pay me for them.
Yes, exactly. And those are, in many, many times, it's the gifts that just lie under our radar. We don't recognize that there are gifts because we've spent years getting certified and trained, and it's almost like it could never be enough. You could never have enough, quote unquote, skills, right? You could always hone
right.
your skills. You can always learn something new, but we have to kind of put that over in a separate bucket, because that's just a given. You know, life is, you know, a thriving life requires a lifelong dedication to learning. So we know we can learn new things. But the stuff that's really of value in what we give of ourselves is our innate gifts. Those are our gifts. And you can, like you just very nicely explained, you can charge for those, because people actually, that's what differentiates you from, you know, anybody else. It's your
right.
ability. It's like you're an alchemist and you're bringing together your skills and your gifts and your character strength, your character traits, your strengths, what you love to do. That whole package is what gives you the credibility, the leverage to be able to ask for a certain amount of money and to get
right.
paid.
And the irony
your value.
Is, and it just came. Yes. The irony of it is, and it just came up to me actually while you were saying that, is that I'm great at hiring people. I'm really, really good. And it's one of those things where I always have been like, yeah, I'm great at hiring people. Like, if you need an employee, just let me know and I'll find the perfect person for you. And I've never done that professionally, but I'm really good at it. So in my own company, I'm really great at hiring. I have wonderful, wonderful employees. And I always say I hire them on their personalities and those innate traits, not on what they know about speech therapy. Because I can teach them what them to know about speech therapy, but I can't change the innate traits about them. So that's what I hire for, which is really ironic that in my own career, that's been the hardest thing for me to charge for.
Yeah, right. But you can see why it's a value, right? You can see,
yes,
you can totally see why it's a value.
People.
It's just harder. Yeah. Yeah. It's so, I totally get that. And I think we all do that to some degree. I mean, I think women do that more because we're always looking for that loophole that says, see, you're not quite enough. And so we it's easy for us to do that. We're always looking for what's missing. Whereas
right.
I believe that what men do is they say, you know, not missing anything, you know, hire me and you'll win. You know, you'll get to that. I'll help you reach your goals. They don't focus so much on their own shortcomings. Or you know, it's self-doubt. It's not really shortcomings. This is all mindset talk, right?
Right.
It's self-doubt. It's believing your own limiting beliefs, believing that they're actually true, and you like set them up. You set up these rules that you believe in, and
right.
So what I help women do to get to the next place is break your own rules. Like if you think the rule is, you know, don't brag, for example. What's the assumption behind don't brag? Well, it's something to do with, you know, it's not polite to brag. You don't want to make the other person feel less than, and you also don't want to oversell yourself. Those are all stories and assumptions. And then how do you move to the new, more positive, empowering thought? And one of the things I've been experimenting with is asking a question. So if the rule to break is, you know, don't brag, maybe the more powerful question is, how can I frame what I offer to be of most value to people who really need a problem solved? And in your case, it would be, you know, access to technology in a friendly way. Like asking,
mm-hmm.
like, how can this be done, as opposed to assuming that there is a limitation on money or time. So how do you expand
right.
that possibility? You ask the how question. How can I deliver this? You know, and it really is like, well, that requires some brainstorming then. And you move beyond believing your own rules by breaking them. You
right.
just break
and
the
I,
rule.
I
you
recent-
say, this is... Yeah.
I recently increased my price dramatically, kind of going along with that, kind of breaking my own rules, and like very dramatically. And I, you know, I knew there was a chance that the company would say no, and I was fine with that. And I did end up, it was really a huge increase. And I did end up negotiating, but I still negotiated to something that I was extremely happy with. And I felt so good after that, because when they came to me and said, you're really expensive, I said, yes, I am. I have 25 years of experience. I happen to be a consulting in the speech therapy arena. I said, I have 25 years doing this. I've written books on it. I'm worth the money, because what I bring to the table will solve your problem faster and less expensively than if you use someone with less experience. It may be less expensive per hour, but you're going to end up paying more in the long run. And
wow, that's
so
great. That's sad.
And I was so proud of myself. It's a lot of work to get to that point where I could do that and feel comfortable with it. And
also the
support of the other business women who I've met through kind of this, you know, this group that I'm a part of that's just been invaluable. And having those people that I can kind of just tell my ideas to, or say, hey, I just been in this proposal with this huge price increase, you know, and that they get that. and you know, my family is so supportive, but they're just, you know, yay, go mommy. They're not so much, you know, oh, I know how you feel and how exciting that you got through that breakthrough, you know? So, I just can't say enough about having a support system of people who other business women or other women employees, you know, whatever your stage is, having other people who can really understand and your relationship is open and honest, and you can discuss money and discuss mindset issues and all of those things that we often are discouraged from discussing out in society.
Yeah, we are. It does kind of remain behind closed doors when we start talking about our business and how much we charge, and those are a bit more, and not everybody is interested in it, let's face it, but and people don't need to know. But the people that are also
right.
on your own path, like-minded women, I think would be, other women in small businesses or women transitioning out of corporate and starting their own agencies or consulting businesses, I think would find the support of other women incredibly valuable. It doesn't have to be other women, but any kind of mastermind or coaching group would be incredibly valuable. But did you find something special valuable about BizChicks? And it sounds like they're all female. So is there something about gender that plays a role in your business?
Well, I do think the mindset issues are different in women. Although I do have a man, I have several men who are mentors for me. I kind of have this composite mentor idea. So for the past year and a half, I've had, they're all in the tech world in some form or fashion. And I probably have about six people who are ahead of me in the business realm and who have just been so giving of their time and energy to allow me to run things by them. And those are equally men and women. And then in my kind of group of my biz besties, one is a man who is younger, quite a bit younger than me, but in the tech world, and we're kind of, our businesses are kind of in the same stage. And then the other are women who I have found through the BizChicks organization, and we were all coached in some level by Natalie Echtal, who started BizChicks. And then my mastermind was all women, and it was also facilitated by Natalie. So that's kind of where I found a lot of women that are also in business and are also working on mindset, and they're all at different levels of their businesses. And in different, some of them have brick and mortar, some have only online businesses, some have service businesses. It's all, some have products. It's all a different, all sorts of different areas. But women that I really feel comfortable saying, this is the dollar amount I used to charge. This is the dollar amount I'm thinking about charging. What do you think about that? Just really, I've never had a group and a bunch of people that I can talk to and really talk about exact amounts of money, for instance. And that's so freeing. And so that helps me get over the money mindset piece of it as well.
Right, right. And let's face it, money and our ability, actually, money is just a tool, but our ability to generate can sometimes be reflected in the amount of money we have. So not always, but depends on what our priorities and goals are. But certainly if you're running a business, obviously you need to have, you have your own financial goals, and that's so awesome that you have a great support structure. We're just coming up on the end of the half hour here for the interview, Betsy, but I just wanted to thank you for jumping on and being game for helping me launch my own Life Design Leadership Collaborative, which is all about women in business and helping women design the second half of their life with work that they both love and find sustainable. So thank you for sharing your journey and your story with us. And I look forward to staying in touch and tracking all your progress, and would love to just, stay in touch with you.
Thank you so much, Kelly. And I'm excited to see where you go in the future as well.
Thanks. Thank you so much. And to all our listeners, if you're interested in finding out more about the work I do with the Life Design Leadership Collaborative and women like Betsy Furler bringing her on the show, go to kellyconnors.com. That's K-E-L-L-E-Y, Connors, C-O-N-N-O-R-S.com. And you can find my website, or you can go to check out my retreats at designyournext.com. Signing off. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and be in touch. Bye-bye now.